Yeah. I get to put this.
Okay. How'd everybody sleep?
Good.
That's good. Sometimes it's hard to sleep the first night. And God, these pants are tighter than I thought. Okay, first of all, thank you for the beautiful readings this morning of the steps and traditions. That was just lovely. And I wanted to start off, with this. Something we talked about last night, and I just want to say it again. You are worth recovery. Full recovery. And then, there's somebody I'm missing here. Really, really, really missing. And he used to lead our meditations. And we lost him this year. His name is Robert. And I wonder if we could just take a minute of silence for those of us who remember Robert. Thank you. God bless you, Robert, wherever you are. So, this morning, we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about step 10, and we're going to talk about conscious contact. And we're going to spend a lot of time on conscious contact. So we're going to read in our big books. Did everybody bring their big book? Or have somebody to share with, okay? And then we're going to break into small groups, and we're going to have an assignment in our small group. And then we're going to come back. Each small group will have a spokesperson that you decide on. And the spokesperson will come back and share with the whole group everything that your small group said. So we'll all get the benefit of that. And we will have a break, so probably in about an hour we'll take a break. And then I remind you again before I forget, this afternoon at 1 we're going to be doing slipping and sliding and relapse. And if you recall, I asked you to please pick a partner that you'll be working with this afternoon, and hopefully you'll pick somebody you don't know. It's a really good thing to do that. It gets us all into the mix. And also, for this afternoon at 1, will you please bring a stone of some sort? If you forget it, we have extra, lots of stones in the world. But you can pick your own if you remember it. And then, of course, tonight we have sex. Well. As may frequently be the case, we are only talking about. Okay. There must be a reason I'm leading this retreat. I don't know what it is. It occurs to me that we have some people here who are pretty new to OA, and I would really like to recognize those people so that we can all make sure we welcome you and talk to you. And so I'm wondering if anybody who has been in OA for, I don't know what's new, 7 to 8 months or less, would you mind standing so we can see who you are? Yay! And stay, if you will, stay standing. Please give us your first name only and where you're from.
My name is Amy, and I'm from Menlo Park.
Hi, Amy.
I'm Janelle, and I'm from Sacramento area.
Hey, Janelle.
My name is Ricky. I'm from the East Bay.
Hi, Ricky. Thank you.
My name is Karen, and I'm from Sacramento.
Hi, Karen.
My name is
Valerie, and I'm from West Sacramento.
Hey, Valerie.
Hi, my name is Jessica, and I'm from Sacramento.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi, my name is Julie. I am from the San Francisco area.
I'm Katrina, and I'm from Sacramento.
Hey, Katrina. Welcome. Oh, thank you. Oh, it's always so good to see newcomers. We can't exist without you, so you are what makes us keep going. And it's, you know, it's possible to be a little intimidated by people who've been in the program a long time. And what I've discovered is I think my first 20 years in the program, I thought I knew a lot, because I've been in it for a long time. And the longer I'm in it, the less I know. So it's just, you know, we really, old-timers don't know that much. So don't feel that somebody who's been around forever knows more than you do necessarily. Hopefully you can find a sponsor who has what you want, or hopefully you already have. But that's the thing, is to find a sponsor. Okay. Instead of launching right into the big book on the 10th step, I thought maybe for the benefit of people who are new, we are going to talk about the 10th and 11th steps. And this is, you know, not to do at home unless you have a sponsor and unless you've worked through steps 1 through 9. There's a reason that the steps come in order. So if you are new, we're not going to start off for you with step 10, right? So you want to check in with your sponsor. But this is what you have to look forward to. Just think, working through all these steps, and then you get to step 10 and 11. But I thought I would remind us all of the first three steps. So, and our connection with whatever our higher power is. And maybe we'll be exploring that a little this morning. So the first step is I'm powerless. You know, I'm powerless over food, and we talked about it last night. I have no mental defense against the first compulsive bite. And boy, I've had to test that out over a period of 10 years. Really? Do I have no mental defense? No, you don't. You know, there you go again. And my mind tells me it's okay, and it's not okay. And we'll talk more in detail about that this afternoon for relapse. But, so I am powerless. And the next step is I've come to believe that a power greater than me can restore me to sanity. Well, if I have no mental defense against that first compulsive bite, stands to reason something's got to be bigger than me to keep me from it, right? Can I do it for myself? No. But I have to keep proving it. So I have had to come to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. Now, when I first came into the program, that was the hardest thing for me. I wanted no part of a GOD. And in fact, the first meeting I went to that I told you about last night, where welcome to OA, welcome home, meant so much to me. After the meeting, of course, everybody got in a circle, held hands, said a prayer. Do you know what I did? I stood outside the circle because I wasn't going to join hands and be influenced by what might be a cult. And here I am standing up here talking about God. I mean, you know, go figure. So that's how hard that was for me. And it took a lot of work with my AAOA sponsor before I was able to approach some kind of belief. And the third step is we make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. So there's that. You know, I was talking last night about all these resolutions I made that I was going to stop overeating. I've got it now. I see the light. I'm going to stop. Those were resolutions. But the third step asks us to make a decision. And the big book talks about this. It's a decision that is not full of drama. It's not dramatic. It's not, you know, it's a decision. And there you are. When I turn my will and my life over to the care of God, it means for me that I'm turning over my food to Him, her, it, whatever. It's, I'm giving everything to God, including my addiction, since I can't seem to manage my addiction myself. Isn't that strange? I can't manage my addiction myself. I can manage everything else, but I can't manage my addiction. So then we have steps 4 and 5, where we take a searching and fearless moral inventory, and we're able to look at ourselves for the first time, maybe. And we're able to get ourselves in balance. And we give that to somebody we trust. And then in 6 and 7, we become aware of some of our defects in 4 and 5. Well, some of the basic ones. Self-centeredness, resentment, fear. You know, the good old 4. Now I've forgotten the 4th. It must be the one I have the most of. Dishonesty. Well, thank you. Thank you. So, those 4. And so, working with our sponsor, you know, we become aware of what those are, and we're working with whatever our perception of a higher power might be. And the interesting thing is, again, we can't do that ourselves. Just like we can't do abstinence ourselves, we can't get rid of our character defects. And in fact, my experience is always we begin again every day. You know, they come back and they come back. And then we have 8 and 9, which is a chance to recognize the harm that we have done to other people, which, believe me, is one of the hardest parts of this program for me. And recently, having been in these 2 steps anew, I recognize some of the things that have held me back with steps 8 and 9. So then we get to look at step 10 and 11. So now that we're brought up to that, let's take a look in our big books together. And I think we want to start my pages are coming out. I have this big book that I got 33 years ago from a garage sale. And it says to Charles from Joyce in the front. And I always hope Charles is doing well.
You know, we all have from the chapter and kind of.
I beg your pardon?
Into action. We all have different books.
Oh, love it. The pages are supposed to be the same. But if not, we'll adjust. If you will, turn to page 85. And if it's true the pages are the same, the first paragraph that begins down there with "It is easy." Everybody got that? So what I'm going to do now is go through 85.
If you're in the fourth edition, yes. Say it in page 85, second, first paragraph.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Everybody got it? Yes?
The confusion with the pages, the first 162 pages never change, or the same at all.
Yeah, they're all the same. So what I'm going to do right now is go through each line of from page 85 to 88. And I'll tell you why I'm doing that. I went to a retreat here in 2009, and the retreat leader went through the whole big book. And the way these pages were presented made a big difference to me. And she said, if you practice page 86 to 88 every day for a year, I guarantee you that your life will change. And she had talked about a lot of the benefits that she had received from doing that. And of course, one of the benefits she said was, I found my husband because I did 85 to 88. And I thought, whoa, I'm doing those pages. It didn't work for me. But it's really true. My life has been changed by doing these every day for a year. And in fact, I had so much fun, I did it longer than a year. And I haven't continued to do it, but I've had to get ready for this retreat so I've been doing it, and it does make a big difference. So let's start off with, it is easy. So the reason this was called into action on some of your agendas was, this we're going to be talking about spiritual action, which I never really understood before, but that's what this is. Steps 10 and 11 are spiritual action. So it is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels when we've gone through steps 1 through 9. We are headed for trouble if we do. For alcohol is a subtle foe. So I think I'm going to say alcohol, but we will think food, okay? Isn't food a subtle foe? I mean, nothing more cunning, baffling, or powerful. So it behooves us to do everything we can to work with our higher power to counteract that cunning and baffling foe. So now, this is the beauty of the big book. It's going to tell us how. You know, that's what's so wonderful. There is a solution. We're not lost. We're not lost forever. Even though we feel like it sometimes, right? So, we are not cured of, I will say, overeating. We are not cured. Ask anybody in here who's had long-term abstinence if they think they're cured. And you're going to hear this is a daily reprieve. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Oh, that's the key, is it? I have to keep up maintaining my spiritual condition. I have to have what they call a fit spiritual condition. So at another place in the big book, Bill says, when we encounter problems, it's because we have, quote, fail to enlarge our spiritual life, unquote. It also says, and work with others, but I'll concentrate on the spiritual right now. So here it is. This depends on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. In other words, I will to do your will. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from him or her or it, who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, anybody carefully follow directions? We have begun to sense the flow of that spirit within us. To some extent, we have begun to develop this vital sixth sense, this vital sense that's beyond what we see and what we can prove. Yeah? It's another sense. And everybody has a different perception of it. To some extent, we have become God conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. But we must go further. Nuts. I can't just stop there. And that means more action. So, step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. So, we've got a lot written in the OA 12x12 and in the AA 12x12 about what does meditation mean and what does prayer mean. And we all come to different understandings of some of that. And I like that they don't debate that here. It's just prayer and meditation has two different things, and I'm not going to, you know, define either one of them while I'm standing here, although I'm going to talk about God consciousness after this a little. But step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We should not be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men and women than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. So it's not like we're going to sit there and hope that the lightning's going to come upon us and we're going to suddenly, which I have done, so, you know, it doesn't happen that way. It kind of reminds me, anybody know the Sistine Chapel painting? And you can see Adam lolling around on a cloud. And he does have his finger up, though, which sometimes is about all we can manage, is to put up our finger. And then there's God over here, looking big and powerful, and he's reaching down a finger, just about touching Adam. So I kind of think about that, and I think, oh, I got to lift up my finger. And I think that's what we're being told here. It would be easy to be vague about this matter. Yet, we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. So here we go. Here are the suggestions. And what I love is it doesn't get into a debating society here. Simple, straightforward, and these are the things to read every day, from now through 88. When we retire at night, or it could be in the morning. I do it in the morning, but, well, you know, whenever you choose to do it. We constructively, and I think it's important to underline that word, we constructively review our day. In other words, I'm not looking for all the things I did wrong. I'm looking for constructive ideas about my day. This is not to tear myself down. Were we, oh gosh, here are these things, those four things: resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid. Well, I don't know about you, but I walk around with fear a lot. And I've heard some people share here who've said, you know, fear is really a large part of me. I do a lot of my life in fear. And sometimes I don't know it until I do this little thing every day. What am I afraid of today? Oh, thank you, God. Good thing to recognize what I'm afraid of. What am I resentful toward? I can hide those feelings so easily, but this is inviting me to be aware of them. What am I afraid of? What am I being dishonest about? I used to think I was never dishonest. That one I couldn't remember. And I really discovered I'm dishonest with myself. You know, what am I fooling myself about? Well, if you're fooling yourself about, how are you going to... But the thing is, my knower knows. And when I open the door, I find out what those things are. So it's a great spot check. Selfish, I also thought I was never selfish because I'm such a good codependent. I will do anything for you, or I used to do anything for you. I've gotten much more selfish lately. But I used to do everything for everybody to make them like me. Yeah. And so it's a real interesting thing about being selfish. What I discover is, oh no, I won't even go into that, never mind. Everybody finds their own definition of selfish. But it's important to know what those things are. And when I do this every day, I begin to discover what they mean. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, do we owe an apology? I really don't like that one. Do we owe an apology? So that means I have to go back over the last 24 hours since the last time I did this darn thing and kind of consider. And again, this doesn't have to take 6 hours, you know. This is like you practice it every day and it begins to just kind of fall into place. So do I owe somebody an apology? I had to go back one time. I had gone to a pharmacy to get my prescription to pick it up, and it wasn't ready. And I'm a little impatient, and I was kind of ticked. And, you know, I was right because they promised me it would be ready, right? So I was a little annoyed, and I was more than a little annoyed. I was really annoyed. It wasn't ready when I wanted it to be ready, and it was an inconvenience for me. So I was a little bit sharp with the pharmacist as it was. You know, and I mean, I didn't scream at her or anything, but I was kind of huffy. Does anybody know huffy? I was kind of huffy. And so the next day, I didn't get my prescription any faster, by the way. And the next day I was doing this. I thought, who do I owe an apology? I thought, oh no, I got to go back and apologize. Oh no. So I went back and there she was. And I said, you know, I owe you an apology. I was really sharp with you yesterday. And I'm sure you didn't need that in your day. And how gracious was she? That happens all the time, she said. I didn't even notice it. Well, she did, but I felt so much better. So these little things are for me to find some kind of serenity. That's what all this does for me. Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Oh, really hate that. Because so many times I discover, yes, I'm keeping something to myself that I should probably talk to my sponsor about. And if not my sponsor, then somebody else. So this is keeping me honest. Were we kind and loving toward all? Oh, boy. Is anybody kind and loving toward all? Some people approach it. I sure don't make it very often, but this reminds me that this is where I'm meant to be, is to be kind and loving to everybody I come in contact with. And I really fall short of that, but this is a good reminder to be that way, and I pray for that a lot. Always we begin again, you know, every day. What could we have done better? So I take that to mean not so much what actions could I have done better, but, you know, like, oh, well, I should have gotten my homework done. I should have cleaned out the pantry. Not that. It's more in my interactions with people, what could I have done better? In my relationship with my God, what could I have done better? That kind of thing. Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? And the speaker a couple of years ago who talked about this said, do you listen to WIIFM all day? Do you listen to WIIFM all day? That means, what's in it for me? Yeah. Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? Man, pack into the stream of life. Well, sometimes I have the opposite problem. I pack too much into the stream of life, and then I get all stressed, you know. But I think the emphasis here is on what can we do for others, not on, you know, how many red notebooks can I fill up today, but what can I pack into the stream of life that helps me really live the way my higher power wants me to live. And this, I think, if I could have a needle point of something over my front door and over my bed and in my kitchen and emblazoned in gold somewhere, we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection. So I can do that at the, you know, snap of a finger. Worry, remorse, and man, I do lots of morbid reflections. Man, I spend so much energy on morbid reflection. And that's why these are good pages, because it's helping us to balance what we need to look at against morbid reflection. So this is telling us, you know, don't sit here for 2 hours regretting that when your daughter was 13, you didn't take her to the party. I've done that. You know, so this is a check on where I go with all of this. So saying, not supposed to do that. But why are we not supposed to do that? Because it'll make us happy? Not exactly. What's the other part of it? For that would diminish our usefulness to others. So it's not that it's supposed to give me serenity. It's that I'm not supposed to be wasting time thinking about all the ways I'm wrong and I don't fit and I'm a terrible person, because that diminishes what I can do for other people. And that's been the most liberating thing for me. It's been amazing. And I always forget it, so I need to renew it every day. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness for the things we have done wrong, and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. And sometimes I get those, and sometimes I don't. But it's amazing to me when I do get them. And they can be very simple. Now, then we move into conscious contact. So on awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from, what do we have, self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. And when I do this every day, I really learn what those are. If I don't do it every day, I don't know what they are. So it's really neat to ask for that to be removed. And I have actually caught myself sometimes with those motives, going, oh no, I asked God to remove those. You know, so I don't have to stay stuck there. This is such a great way to live. I mean, it's just like a whole way to live. It's so free. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. You know? So God's not saying to me, okay, just spend all this time in meditation, and then you're going to be fine. God's saying, let's use your brain. You know, you got to work with me. You got to work with God, is what I think he's saying. And she, and it. So I thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. Yeah, it's easier to think when I get out of what's in it for me, which doesn't happen all the time. So. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision, right? So I don't know how many times a day you don't know what course to take. But what a great thing to get into the habit of just saying, okay, God, what now? What will I say now? What will I do now? What do you want? And to trust when you get a thought. Now, you can be wrong, as it explains later in here, but practice that. See what happens. It's only by making mistakes that we learn more about what God wants for us. And here's the other one that I want to have emblazoned in gold somewhere. We relax and take it easy. So after all of this really important stuff, then I'm told we relax and take it easy. For me, who is a constant trier, I had somebody say to me, well, if you just stop trying, you'd be fine. So after I do this kind of work, then I relax and take it easy. What a nice thing. You mean I get to relax? We don't struggle. Oh, thank you, God. We're often surprised how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. Again, what used to be the hunch gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still and experienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it's not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. That's nice to know, that I'm not always right there. I have many times thought God wanted me to do something and gone ahead with it and found out that wasn't quite the right one. I needed to just wait. Because sometimes God says no, you know, that's another part of all this. So we might pay for our presumption, all sorts of absurd actions. But this is a promise, and you can underline this. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. So isn't that terrific? We begin to feel that we are on a plane of inspiration. Man, that is terrific. So, the next part of this is kind of this next paragraph. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives and friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination, which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select to memorize a few set prayers. There are many helpful books. Suggestions may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people might be right. I really like that. First, I really like that we can choose our own concept of God. And then I really like that we can also take what we like and leave the rest of any other spiritual disciplines that might resonate for us. It's a wonderful thing AA did to allow us this freedom of spirituality instead of dividing us into sects and groups. And it really has meant a lot to me. I can't do doctrine, so I really like this. I go to a church, but I just take what I like and leave the rest. Here are the instructions for as we live each day. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show.
Really?
Yeah. Now, why do we have to remind ourselves of that? And why do we have to do it constantly? Really? Constantly. Humbly saying to ourselves many times each day. Now, I don't know about you, how many times have you said it already? Thy will be done. Isn't that a crock? That's really many times each day. And why do we do that? Well, we are then, I love all this, in much less danger of, here are all these things, excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient, and I really love this last one. We do not tire so easily. Why? For we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. Whoa. Whoa. It works. It really does. So there's the only promise you need. Yeah? It works. It really does. And there are any number of people sitting in this room, if you're wondering if it works, who can say, it works. You just do it. You know? We compulsive feeders are undisciplined. No kidding. Well, I can be really disciplined about a lot of things. I mean, I can be very type A, kind of, you know, nauseously disciplined, but not when it comes to food. There my discipline stops. So because we're undisciplined, we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. And my experience is that discipline is given in a spirit of love and gentleness. I have never felt condemned by my higher power, which is really saying something, because I've done lots of stuff. I have never been corrected by my higher power in a way that lowered my self-esteem. Never, not once. It's always been in a way, maybe I wasn't crazy about it, but I never felt shame. And if you do, when you're doing this stuff, look for a different higher power. Oh, but this is not all. We can't just sit still. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. There's a quote from the big book. I forget what page, but something about we must live 24 hours in faith. That just in faith, beyond ourselves. And I find that to be really true. I'll talk more about that after we have a break. So I guess the thought is breathe in God and breathe out fear. Whatever our concept of God is. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about God concepts and stuff. And then we're going to break into groups after that and talk more about that. But let's take a break. And it's 10 after 10. If you will, start coming back at 10:20. Okay, so we can start at 10:25.
Came alive for me.
Did it really?
Yeah, I mean, I took some notes on some things, like Francis, when you said, like, the words, like, just honesty, fear, etc.
Can I grab your microphone and turn you off?
Oh, yes. To do it, now that I am, I'm just, it's really fun. So, okay, thank you, Rick. So, to continue talking about a higher power, gotta lose 20 more pounds maybe. I thought I'd just speak a little bit about my experience looking for a higher power and some other stuff. And then, I'm not gonna talk for very long, and then we'll break into groups. We're gonna number off. And the topic for each of our groups is gonna be, what do you do that increases your conscious contact with God, with your higher power, with your goddess, with whatever you want it to be. And we'll ask for a spokesperson for me, each group, so you'll decide who you want your spokesperson to be. And they will take paper and pen and they will write down all your ideas. And then after we've met in small groups, where each spokesperson will come up one at a time and share their ideas. And then what we'll do is take those ideas that are written and we're gonna put them into a document and we'll send that, and Bonnie will send that out to all of you after you get home. A week or two, or who knows, you know, when we get there. But it's kind of an important idea, and it's really, I've done this at another retreat, and it's really fun to hear different people's ideas. So, I think the first thing that attracted me about this higher power thing was that I could choose my own. And I had really had it with organized religion. And in fact, I had been very active in some ways, although I always held out doubts about a lot of things. But I'd been very active in reading spiritual texts when I was a teenager. And then when I was 18, some stuff happened in my family. And I decided God was not Santa Claus. And so I decided there was no such thing. So for 20 years, I refused any acknowledgement of anything that could be approaching God. And in fact, when I was married, we were married in a place that was non-religious. It was a church, but it was not, anyway. So imagine my surprise and shock when my sponsor said to me, "You need to find a higher power." And, ooh, I did not like that. If you remember, I was the one who stood outside the group when people joined him. So, big, big problem. So, wonderful sponsor that I had. What she said to me was, "Every day I want you to spend half an hour just thinking about what your higher power might be." She said, "You know, you don't have to read stuff, you don't have to write stuff, you don't have to do anything big deal. Just spend half an hour every day in quiet and just kind of wonder what your higher power would be." Well, I will share, I forgot about this part. After that first meeting that I felt like maybe I was home, I did hear them say, "act as if." And that's two words I want to bring up again. Act as if. And I did go home that first night of that first meeting, even though I wouldn't join hands. And I can remember as clear as day, lying there in bed, recognizing I was dead if I kept eating. And hearing "act as if." And I thought, well, maybe I should say a prayer. And then I thought, well, what'll I pray? And I couldn't remember anything except one. "Now I lay me down to sleep." And you know what? It was perfect. It was perfect. So here I am back with my sponsor doing a half hour every day. And what happened to me after that was, as I would be thinking, and there was no rush. She didn't say, in 2 weeks you're going to know. It was, God bless her, it was just, you know, just do this. So I was just doing this. But what was weird was while I'd be just doing this little quiet time, which I did in all kinds of places at all kinds of times, some things kept popping up in my head from spiritual texts and from songs about a God that I hadn't thought of in 20 years. It freaked me out. I thought, where is that coming from? I mean, that really was, you know, where did that come from? So anyway, one day I was sitting on the patio of a place where I was doing temporary work. And I have shared already, I was basically a single mother with an acting out teenager. Or she was 11 or 12 at the time, I guess. It's very much acting out. I wasn't able to keep a continuous job. I was working contract. And I was at this place where I was doing work that was like 20 levels below what I had done before. And they had a patio for lunches and stuff. So I had, whatever, 45 minutes break. I'm spending too long on this. Anyway, after I finished my lunch, fortunately it was after I ate, I sat there and I just said, okay, I've got half an hour. I'll spend this half an hour considering what my power might be. So I'm just sitting there thinking, and I don't know about it for you, but for me, it's the hardest thing in the world to sit still, right? So I'm sitting there, and I'm looking, and there's a pond next to this patio, a great big pond. And at the end of the pond, there's a weeping willow. And so I'm sitting there, wonder what. And the nice thing about it was I didn't feel any, what is it? It wasn't like that. It was just kind of, what is my heart? And it was so simple. The wind rippled the branches of the weeping willow that were in the pond. And the ripples spread out through the pond over to where I was. And I thought, oh, that's my higher power. There's something in everything that ripples. And that was my first concept, my personal concept of what a higher power might be for me. It still is based on that, but I've changed it a lot over all the years. But that was my first inkling of what a higher power might be. Before that, I really, it's been written in a spiritual text, in all their thoughts, there is no room for God. And that is how I had been before. So here's my sponsor saying, think about God every day. So I had never had time for God in my thoughts. And it was pretty cool to spend this time thinking about what God might be. I decided I would act as if, however that thing was that I perceived, I would act as if it really worked the way the steps say it works. I didn't believe that it was doing that, but I thought, I will act as if. So I thoroughly recommend that to anybody who's having difficulty. It's just two words, act as if. And of course, I thought at the time, well, I don't want to be a hypocrite, which we have talked about in the big book. You know, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Well, I didn't want to lose my life either. So far better to act as if and then find out, you know, well, maybe I was wrong. And recently I was talking with a fellow who was expounding about how he is an agnostic. And, you know, he went on and on with the debate, and I just let him talk. He talked for about 15 minutes. And I sat there, and I had a little bit of envy, just a little bit, because I thought to myself, I can't afford to be an agnostic. If I don't have a higher power, I'm dead. So I don't have the luxury of being an agnostic. It's quite a luxury, but I am an addict, so I don't have that luxury. And I was a little bit jealous. I don't know if people are following me, it's hard to tell. We are admonished that believing in a higher power is what saves us. And I don't mean in the religious sense so much, but saves us from our addiction. So, the big book refers to God in a number of ways, calls God a higher power. And I love it also calls God friend with a capital F. So I really like that. It also, and it surprised me this time to realize, the big book refers to God as a loving God. So whatever that God is, if it's the power of the group, if it's the power in the universe, whatever, that it's loving. It's crucial to our recovery because we have this 12 steps to lead us to a spiritual experience, however that is expressed in you. So I've heard people refer to God in numerous ways, and I like all of them. You know, whatever it is that works for you, it's our spiritual nourishment that makes the difference. So rather than the food that we think we need more than anything else, it's really the spiritual nourishment that we seek. And I kind of like the idea that this is a holy disease. I'll leave that one there. So when we think about praying, there are so many ways of making conscious contact. There are some people who say the only true prayer is thank you. There are other people who have another idea. What it's come to be for me is listening and allowing into the center of my being the sense that I am loved. No matter what. You know, it's you are loved. And that's what prayer renews in me every day. It doesn't matter what I did when I was 10. It doesn't matter what I weigh. It doesn't matter what I can't do. It doesn't even matter that I'm not as loving as I wish I were. It's you are loved. And it's something for each of us to find a way to claim, I think. And that happens more and more as we build a relationship. I will say that my experience is I don't have perfect faith. And, you know, here I am standing up here talking about God, and I am aware that many times, more often than I like, I get into a desert place. Like right now, my soul feels... feels like a watered garden. Here we are in this retreat with all his love, with a beautiful lake. You know, my soul feels like a watered garden. But I go through times where I am in a desert and I can't connect. It isn't there. I'm not making the connection. And I think it's really important to not get scared when that happens. It does scare me because I think, well, if there is no higher power, I really am screwed. You know? So the thing for me is to sit with that and sit in my half hour of meditation every day, whether I want to or not. It's put my fanny in the seat and just sit there and walk through it. And also what I do is I talk to God and I say, if you're really there, I am really scared because I don't believe in you right now. So talk to me. I've also said to God, I need to see today that you love me. Show me that you love me. Isn't that a weird thing to say? But boy, God does. It's just like amazing to me that it's okay to say something like that. I think another thing too in my praying is I really tell God what's going on. Just like God's sitting right here next to me. It's like, well, this mascara is running into my eyes. God, maybe I ought to stop using this stuff. I mean, simple, everyday, silly things to just kind of bring God into my life. How often I say, thy will be done. I need more work on that one. You know, it's a big deal. So for people who don't like to sit still, it's important to try it, whether you will like it or not. But then it's also possible to dance and be connected with God. It's possible to walk and be connected with God. There are just so many ways. Each person will find their own. So whatever formula one person has, it doesn't have to be yours. And nothing I say has to be yours. There's just many ways to make a connection. Some people see it in art, other people when they're in nature. And for people who are just beginning this kind of thing, there's some help. There are prayers in the big book and in the OA 12x12. It's good to look at those, kind of practice using those if you want, and see what works for you. Talk to other people. Miss no opportunity to hear more. And above all, what I first heard when I came into OA was keep an open mind. So I haven't read it today. I read Voices of Recovery, but not for today. But somebody told me that the for today said something about being open to whatever is coming. So if that can be also, you know, being open to whatever still small voice you hear. And that can be, at first I thought that still small voice must mean I was a little nuts. And it turns out, well, I probably am a little nuts, but not because I hear a still small voice. So I think I've said a lot about all that. And if you're ready now, what I would like us to do is to number off, and then we will form small groups. And again, you'll pick a group spokesperson, and they will write down, and your assignment is to discuss what it is that you do that increases your conscious contact with your higher power. What are some of the things you do that aid that conscious contact for you? Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, so if I could get some counters up here to help me, one on one side and one on the other, we're going to count to nine and stay seated So when the counter points to you, say the next number. And we'll start right there. We're going to go across rows. So.
One.
Two.
Three.
Four.
Five.
Six. Seven.
Eight.
Nine.
Start over after nine. Yeah, that might probably.
Yeah.
Three.
Four.
Five.
Six.
Seven.
Eight.
Nine.
Ten.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2. Okay, thank you. And what we'll do now is take everything with you because it's not going to stay where it is. And ones can be here and twos in the middle and threes back there. Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. And move chairs and get in groups and... One, two, three.
Yeah, where are the rest of our
Can you grab that?